Friends, welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church in Bend, Oregon. I'm Stephen. I'm the lead pastor here at First Presbyterian. And if you're joining us from somewhere around the world, right here in Central Oregon, or somewhere in between, we are so glad that you're here. We try our best to practice what we call a spacious Christianity here, where you will find people at very different places, theologically, spiritually. We love it that way. We believe diversity is a strength. Questions and doubts are gifts, you know, taking us into deeper conversations. And we believe that every story is sacred. Everyone matters. And together with wonder and curiosity, we journey exploring God's story and our place in it. So as we get ready to worship, I invite us to kind of make the transitions from getting to wherever we happen to be, to just being present. So I invite you to kind of drop your shoulders from your ears. So often when we're holding anxiety, even in ways we don't even realize, we're holding our shoulders up by our ears. And I invite you to loosen any tension you're feeling in your jaw. Loosen and release and relax that space between your eyebrows. And now I invite you to take just three deep breaths. You know, so often we hold our tension, anxiety, and fear without even realizing it in our chest, and our breathing is shallow. Just take three deep breaths, imagining that breath dropping to about 2 inches behind your belly button. And just be present. Be present to the love that's always present to you. Because when we turn our hearts toward that love, when we're present to that love, anything's possible. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Owen and I are here this morning to
light the candle.
Mm-hmm. We light the candle because it helps us think about joy and things that reflect goodness. And even in dark times, we can look at a candle and think there is lots to be thankful for and lots to hope for. We hope you have a wonderful day.
Bye.
In the face of a culture of death, a world of killing fields, a world of the walking dead, Christ is at the head of the resurrection parade, transforming our tears of betrayal into tears of joy, giving us dancing shoes for the resurrection party. And this glittering joker who has danced in the dragon's jaws of death now dances with a dance that is full of nothing less than the fullness of God. This is the dance of the new creation. This is the dance of life out of death. And in this dance, all that was broken, all that was estranged, all that was alienated, all that was dislocated and disconnected is reconciled, comes home, is healed, and is made whole.
I want to see you. This is our new puppy, Janora. She's a busy puppy, but so sweet and smart. Do you know what's kind of nice about dogs? I mean, other than that they're furry and adorable. They can't really argue with you about things like which sports team is the best, or where should we go out for dinner, or who gets the first turn on the swing. I mean, maybe they would argue if they could, but for the most part, as long as a dog gets enough attention, love, food, water, and exercise, they're pretty happy furry little friends. But our human friends can take a little bit more work and be a little harder to get along with sometimes. For instance, we might like different things, see things differently, or have different ideas about the way things should be. Or we might have a hard time letting someone else go first. We might forget not to push or grab when we've been waiting for our turn. Sometimes this can cause us to get into an argument or fight where we say or do unkind things that can hurt ourselves and others. When we disagree in a big way like this, we call it conflict. Most of the time, we think of conflict as a bad thing that we don't want to have happen because it can make us feel sad or angry or have hurt feelings. It can make it hard for us to choose the loving and peaceful thing, which is good for both us and others. Conflict is going to happen, but it isn't really a bad thing. In fact, it can be a way for us to learn how to show love to others even better. Of course, conflict doesn't feel fun, and sometimes it can be dangerous if someone is trying to hurt you. And at those times, you should try and get away and tell a grown-up you trust about it. But when the conflict is a conversation with someone where you just have a different idea, there's no reason to get angry or fight about it. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to give up on what we know is right and good just to make peace. But it's more about being open to the idea that there could be another way, that we don't always have to prove ourselves right. And most important, remembering that the person we are disagreeing with is a human, just like us, who has feelings and their own unique way of seeing the world. We can learn a lot about conflict from Jesus too. For instance, Jesus questioned and pointed out laws and ways that people treated others that weren't okay all the time. This created a good kind of conflict where people had to stop and really think about how they had been acting and what was the right way to live. And Jesus didn't do this through having big arguments. Most of the time, he would just ask a question that led others to love. So next time you find yourself disagreeing with a friend or sibling or are just having a hard time getting along, maybe you can try remembering to stop and think about what would help show love right now instead of just trying to prove yourself right. How can you talk and work things out so you both feel heard and understood? It's not always easy, and sometimes it can take time, a lot of time, and that's really hard. Sometimes you may even need help from another friend or a grown-up, but it's always worth it to take the time and try your best to listen and show love to others, even when you disagree. It might be nice if getting along with others was as easy as getting along with a puppy, but our differences make the world more interesting and beautiful. We are each an important part of God's creation. And when we choose to show love in conflict, to show love when it's really, really hard to get along with someone, we are choosing to help bring peace to the world and make it a more loving place for everyone. Well, let's say our kids' blessing this morning as a reminder of this love and how we can all grow to show more love. Please join me as we say, "You are loved by God no matter what. May you know love, grow in love, and show love to others." Amen.
In an opinion piece in the New York Times, author Nicholas Kristof writes about the famous evangelical leader, the Reverend Rick Joyner, who has called on Christians to arm themselves for civil war against liberals who he suggests are allies of the devil. But, Kristof writes, this is the awkward part. His five children, Reverend Joyner's five children, would be on the other side of that civil war, as he and his kids all acknowledge. as division and politics and polarization reaches its tentacles deep into relationships that we hold dear, tearing us apart, the Joyner family is really no different from so many of our own. The Joyners love each other and are there for each other, and they despair for each other. He talks about Democrats being evil, forgetting that all five of his kids vote Democratic, said his eldest. We worry that his rhetoric might get people killed, so we feel responsibility to challenge him. And Pastor Joyner says his children frustrate him as much as he does them. It's about even, he said dryly, and yet he seems proud of them. But he also thinks he may have overshot his goal of raising strong, independent children. There is responsibility to hold those you love accountable, said one of his daughters. But how? We're not willing to sacrifice our relationship with him. At what point can I no longer go home for Thanksgiving and watch football with my dad? One of his sons mused. By doing so, am I condoning his behavior? It can be hard to draw that line in the sand, especially when you love this person. His daughter put it this way. Is it okay to just talk about movies and dogs with someone who's trying to incite civil war? I don't know. And I confess that I struggle with this same question. I confess that I love my dad and my uncles and my brother and my cousins, all of whom think and vote and act differently than I, but I love them. So is it okay to just talk about the weather and how my kids are doing in school, about their latest hobbies? I don't know. I really don't know. The article continues. When Hurricane Sally hit coastal Alabama, where Joyner's daughter lives, she had to evacuate in the middle of the night. And she was furious at her father for his denial of climate change. But he is the person that she called in that crisis. And he stayed on the phone with her for much of the night, relaying the latest information and helping to keep his daughter safe. I'm so angry with him for his politics and for endangering me and all of us by not believing in climate change, his daughter said. And yet he is the one I turn to in the middle of the night when I'm evacuating and I'm really scared. In the words from the song, Forgive Us by the Many, we try, we fail, we do a little too late. We wish we could walk away. We hurt and we're hurt. Nothing seems to work. We don't know what to say. Forgive us. We know not what we do. Help us seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly. Lord, in your mercy. Amen.
We try, we fail, do too little, too late. We wish we could walk away. We hurt, we're hurt, nothing seems to work. We don't know what to say. To see without sight. to. We don't know what to do.
Hear these words from Caitlin Curtis and join me in prayer. God of whatever the hell this is, God of humanity tearing each other to shreds, God of police brutality and the too young dead, God of those who colonize and corrupt, God of this sacred earth, what the hell are we supposed to do now? There aren't enough candles to light. Sacredness that envelops threadbare mothers and exhausted workers, who holds the incarcerated and the immigrant and the protester. God who does not forget the deeply wounded ones. How the hell do we heal? There aren't enough candles to light. Mother Mystery, who doesn't turn away from injustice, who tells the queer and the outcast that they always belonged, who puts ableism, racism, and sexism in their place and declares there were never heathens to begin with. Why the hell does it all hurt so much? There aren't enough candles to light. God of unexpected diagnoses, God of worry, God of the lonely, God of those who feel forgotten, God of those who doubt that they are so dearly loved. How the hell do we heal? There aren't enough candles to light. God, sacredness, Mother Mystery, love, if our existence, help us know how to resist. Help us know how to love. Help us know how to stay awake to injustice, today and for the rest of our days, because we sure as hell can't do it on our own. There aren't enough candles to light. We mean it as we pray this prayer Jesus taught us, God. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And may we be fierce enough in our love to help make it so. Because we've run out of candles to light. God of all of it, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It's April, National Poetry Month. So of course I want to begin by sharing a poem. And one of my favorite poems is by an Israeli poet, Yehuda Amichi, called The Place Where We Are Right. From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up the world like a mole, a plow. You know, the poem suggests nothing can grow between us when we insist on meeting each other, speaking to each other from the place where we are right. You know, what if we were willing to soften our certainty for the sake of peace? What if we placed a higher value on being in relationship than being right? Now, letting go of being right doesn't mean you're wrong. It means you're choosing to love, creating a brave space that can hold the tension of difference and disagreement as you try to find common ground, as you try to find a shared humanity. You know, I've said many times, conflict is inevitable. Conflict is the stuff of life. Combat is optional. The goal isn't to disagree less. The goal is to disagree better. And instead of stomping around, hardening the ground in the places where we are right, what if we tried to find common ground? You know, where we can till together to help grow a new way of being community. Our differences and even our disagreements can be life-giving if they're rooted in the rich soil of our shared humanity. You know, it's no accident that humus, the organic component of soil, and humility come from the same root word. Humus helps plants grow. Humility helps relationships, community, love grow. I recently watched a TED Talk by Ali Abu Awad, a Palestinian activist. And the TED Talk was called Painful Hope. Ali has seen the suffering of the Jewish people. He's also seen and experienced in his own body the suffering of the Palestinian people. His story is compelling because his experience of compassion saved him from being lost in the endless cycle of retribution and revenge. And one of the many stories he tells is about the first time he saw an Israeli cry. It was at a bereavement group that they were hosting in his family home. And he was amazed, he said, because he never imagined that Israelis cried. He only thought of Israelis as the enemy. He said, I was convinced that I am the only victim and they are the enemies. And suddenly you see them as a human being when you see them cry. Ali's brother was killed by an Israeli soldier. In his TED Talk, he said he had this growing realization that no amount of suffering he could create in others would relieve his pain or bring his brother back. So instead of living in anger and retaliation, he decided to work for a new and a different kind of future. So he's working to build a nonviolent movement to get Israelis and Palestinians to work together to build relationships. His unlikely partner in this work is Rabbi Hanan Schlesinger, who actually has a similar story about realizing that Palestinians are more like him than different than him. Rabbi Schlesinger described the first time that he intentionally went to meet a Palestinian. You know, his wife told him not to go. It's too dangerous, she said, but he went. And he saw Palestinian kids wearing shirts that said, peace. And he thought, how strange. Because Palestinians are not for peace, he thought to himself. You know, they just throw rocks. They hate us. But here were Palestinian children, who were for peace. Hanan realized that they live so close together, but they live so far apart. You know, sometimes they're only separated by a fence or a wall, but on that day he saw that they were separated by so many of their assumptions and so many of their fears. On that day he began to know real people, to see real people, and his life began to change. Now Ali and Hanan traveled together, telling their stories, trying to foster a grassroots movement of mutual understanding and nonviolence. I mean, you think about it. Imagine the possibilities. If we realized there is no us and them, there is only we. Imagine if we move from the place where we are right and with a heart of humility, tried to see God in the other, turned our clenched fists
into open hands. Relationship expert John Gottman says that in relationships, we are moving in one of three directions at all times. We are moving away from each other, or we're moving against each other, or we're moving toward each other. I mean, every thought we have, every behavior either joins you or separates you. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says that the Spirit of God was in Jesus, reconciling the world toward God's heart, moving people toward God. And we have been given that same ministry of reconciliation. What that means is that the Spirit of God was present in Jesus, moving toward people in love, joining what was divided, healing, restoring what was broken. So how would our faith change if we understood that forgiveness, healing, reconciliation are the primary movement of God's Spirit? During April and May, our theme is rhythms, practices for a Jesus-centered love. You know, over the next few weeks, we're going to focus on some of the rhythms and practices of what it means to live and love in the way of Jesus. You know, what it looks like to embody the Spirit of love that was present in Jesus, the Spirit of love we proclaimed at Easter that could not be defeated. The Spirit of love that doesn't move away or against, but is always leading and moving us towards others with humility and love, often moving us in places we may not want to go. You know, in his Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says these remarkable words. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Whoa. Think about the implications of that. Just for a second, the implications for our church budget, if we actually took Jesus seriously. I mean, if you have a conflict with anyone, you first need to go to them and seek to make it right. And only after you seek reconciliation do you then come back to worship and make your offering. Can you imagine? Take a second. Think about someone with whom you have a conflict. Or maybe someone with whom you just vehemently disagree. They see the world just so differently than you do. Or perhaps someone you judge harshly. Now imagine intentionally moving towards those people with humility and love, listening, trying to understand, seeking common ground, connection, seeking reconciliation. And imagine doing that before participating in worship. I'm guessing that I just pretty much guaranteed that we'll have no one in worship next week. Okay, I'm kidding. Sorta. Imagine what might be possible if we took Jesus seriously. What might be possible if everyone in our very angry and divided country who claim to be Christian, who claim to be followers of Jesus, purposefully sought out just one person with whom they had a conflict with, and tried to repair that one relationship. I mean, imagine what might be possible if we intentionally move towards people who are different than we are. You know, those who think and believe and look and embody different things than us. And with a humble heart, we look to see God in the other. We initiated brave conversations. We were willing to listen to their stories. Imagine if we took off our defensive armor and with humility, we were willing to learn and grow. It's difficult to imagine, right? But when we live in the way of Jesus, when we embody the spirit of love that was present in Jesus, it's dangerous because that spirit moves us towards others. That spirit moves us in the direction of reconciliation. That spirit often moves us in places we don't want to go. And maybe Jesus is saying in this passage of Scripture that that's part of our worship. So imagine it's Sunday morning. You just woke up. You plan to attend worship in a couple hours. What if before you attend worship, we searched our hearts for where there's conflict, where there's judgment, where there's bitterness, where there's hatred, where we either feel distant or against someone? What if you send an email or a text to someone you're in conflict with, asking for an honest conversation in which you desire to seek repair? What if you reached out to someone who holds very different views than you do, saying you know that you disagree on many things, but you want to be in relationship with them? What if you spend some time thinking about how you might use your voice in public spaces as a peacemaker? You know, lifting a voice of love as a counter-testimony to the many voices of anger and hate. What might be possible if we treated the time between weekly worship services as the time to get right with each other? The time to make repairing broken relationships a weekly priority. The time to resist the forces of polarization that try to pull us apart. And instead, we intentionally build bridges wherever we can. That would be something, wouldn't it? You know, it may not change our larger culture overnight, but I can't help but think it would change us and play a part in healing the corrosive anger and hate that's all around us. I can't help but think that's the kind of worship Jesus had in mind. I received an email this week sharing a story that took place last November during the election, and I want to share it with you. It said, in this time of hostility and polarization, when people are being driven further and further apart, I want to share something that reminds us to listen to our better angels. My husband bikes to work, and yesterday he passed two houses in our neighborhood that had posted yard signs for the candidate my husband and I vehemently oppose. And my husband noticed one sign was vandalized with graffiti and the other sign had been crushed and destroyed. My husband stopped, got off his bike, knocked on the door of each house, told the owners that he was a supporter of the other political party, and he said he was sorry that their signs had been damaged and that he wanted to buy them new ones, new signs. He reiterated that no one should treat a neighbor this way. I confess I gulped hard when when I heard that my husband actually offered to buy new yard signs. But then I thought, how would I feel if the situation was reversed and someone did the same for us? My husband said he hoped it would help them rethink how they felt about their neighbors, perhaps diffuse some of the anger, maybe even start a brave conversation. After all, the world can only be changed one brave conversation at a time. Friends, may we practice the rhythms of Jesus. The rhythm that moves us toward one another in a spirit of humility and love. May we practice resurrection, trusting the love that could not be defeated is the love that can heal our lives, our nation, our world. And may we remember that we came from that love. We are made by that love. And we are here to live that love. May it be so.
When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. Into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. Forgiveness is the garment of our power to make the peace we long to know. Open up our eyes to see the wounds that bind all of humankind. May our shattered hearts greet the dawn of charity and love. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. See my brother. I see my sister. I see my father. See my mother. Look into the face of my enemy. I see my brother. See my brother.
The mission of First Presbyterian Church is creating spaces of grace to cultivate hope, healing, and purpose.
Friends, you inspire me every single day with your incredible generosity. Your generous financial gifts become expressions of grace where and when it is needed, changing lives. Your financial gifts have purchased gas and food gift cards for families who are really struggling during this pandemic. Your financial gifts provided hygiene kits for homeless youth, made it possible for us to open our doors as an emergency smoke relief shelter. Your financial gifts give over 500 students a chance to go to school in places like Burundi and Guatemala. Your financial gifts started Pandemic Partners, helping thousands of neighbors help their neighbors. Your financial gifts make our online worship possible, where we're reaching people not just in Bend, but across the world. Simply put, your financial gifts are expressions of grace. Every gift, large and small, brings hope, healing, and purpose. Your support is so appreciated. It's easy to give. You can text a gift, you can give online, or mail in a check. Thank you. Thank you for the grace and generosity you continue to bring to these difficult times. You are making a difference.
Savior.
Friends, may we practice the rhythms of Jesus. Those rhythms that move us towards others, those rhythms that move us toward, especially toward those places of disagreement and difference, that move us toward others with a spirit of humility and love. May we practice resurrection, trusting in the love that cannot be defeated. Trusting that love will heal our lives, our nation, our world. And may we remember that we came from that love. We are made by that love. And we are here to live that love. So go in peace and be peacemakers. Go in courage. Dare to have those brave conversations. And go in love. Go and be love. Trusting that the presence of love is with you always.
Sing with me now.